Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Welcome along to the Shackles Are Off T20 World Cup Daily Podcast, and this is episode 5. And, well, the bubble isn't burst, Chris, in terms of England's success at the World Cup, but, you know, there's been the first defeat on the board, and that's fine. We're fine with that, though, aren't we? We're fine. We had a heavy evening. We were actually in Leeds dressed up as Oompa Loompas at the time when we were watching it, in true kind of like, you know, Holly Stan fashion. Actually, which is appropriate for our guest, which we'll come on to in a minute. That's not why we didn't just turn up to the cricket, to the pub dressed like that. I've got to caveat it with that. But we did watch England lose to South Africa. But you know what? Doesn't matter. I think a bit of a kick up the backside. It's fine. It's fine. You know?
Absolutely. You look at the best team in every tournament around the world. England in the 2019. We lost two games in the group stages and went on to win it. In the latter part of the tournament, it happens in most major tournaments in every sport. So I think an early defeat isn't always a bad thing. Of course, we'd like to win every game. Of course, we want to go and knock everyone over. However, hopefully, the lads have had that little bit of a slip up, and now it won't happen again. And let's be honest, we're definitely the strongest side in the tournament.
Pakistan look good, but we look good. We look really good, don't we? You know.
On our day, we can beat everyone, absolutely anyone. In fact, we could beat Pakistan and India together on our day. They get 22 goes, we get 11. On maybe I'm pushing it a bit. It's been a long weekend.
Well, England are into the World Cup semi-finals, and just to mark your card, if you are at work on Wednesday, well, what are you doing? Work from home that day, because 2 p.m. is when they start. New Zealand on Wednesday in Abu Dhabi, 2 o'clock UK time, 2 o'clock UK time. So if you're in Britain, that is the time that you need to just be sliding off and getting off Zoom for just for a couple of hours to watch England beat New Zealand. And well, that's great. Look, we've got a guest on this week who's great as well. And I referenced the Holly Stand. He's actually from Birmingham or the Midlands. It's his nearest test ground anyway. And this guy, look, we get cricketers on, we get ex-cricketers. We had Toby Tarrant, a bit rogue, but obviously well-known cricket podcaster as well as a radio presenter. However,
we'll not tell him you called him a rogue, but
no, well, no, it's fine. You know, he's all right, Toby. You got a bomber jacket out of it, it's fine. But this guy, I'm really excited to put this interview out. I'm going to not pretend that we're recording this before we speak to him. We've already spoken to Oliver Phelps, who is an absolute superstar all around the world. You may remember him because he played George Weasley, one of the Weasley brothers in Harry Potter. And those characters in those films are amazing. Like, they're just great characters. Brilliant actors as well. And, you know, and he's just gone on to do loads of other stuff. He's got a YouTube channel and a podcast and obviously still, you know, incredibly well known around the globe. And more importantly, a massive, massive cricket fan. Like, huge cricket fan.
Badger, you'd even call him.
Yeah. And actually, in our little chat, I don't feel like we've talked about cricket enough for his liking, actually.
Well, it was kind of role reverse, wasn't it? He came on to talk about cricket, and I looked after you a bit, Greg. I didn't tell him how much of a Harry Potter nutter you are. didn't want to embarrass you in front of him, so I didn't let that slip. I'm sure he'll be listening back to this now. We just wanted to talk to him about Privet Drive and the Harry Potter set, but he wanted to talk about cricket. But anyway, I think it was a great mix of films, of cricket, of his grandma. Yeah, what a great bloke as well for giving up his time for us.
Yeah, top man. Yeah, really good to hear from him. And also, hopefully, see him in the Holly Stand next year when we play India at Edgbaston. So, nice. We're looking forward to putting that interview out to you. Before we do, though, I just want to just flag up a couple of bits and bobs. Charles Tirrett is the British menswear brand that makes it effortless for men to look sharp. If that's the case, I could do with a bit of that because I look absolutely shocking. My clobber is dreadful and woeful, so Charles Tirrett to the rescue for me. Talk about Oliver Phelps being loved globally. This brand is also loved globally for their range of smart shirts. Their fine tailoring extends to suits, blazers, chinos, refined pot. Yeah, do you reckon I can have like a bit of a makeover? Bit of a, you know, what do you think? These boys, well, will they sort me out? You know, I know you're saying I'm a tough person to, you know, you can't polish a turd, but you can roll it in glitter. These guys are my glitter. Yeah, is that what we're saying?
Are you all right, mate?
I don't think so. I think dressing up as Umpa Lumpers has probably done me a little bit, hasn't it?
I was chuckling to myself because you were just ranting to yourself about how woeful your gear is.
It is. I look shocking. I can't dress myself. Hey, this is...
is the only way forward for you now.
Yeah, there we go. Also, Joss Butler models for them. And he looks good in their adverts, doesn't he? I just keep seeing him pop up on my Instagram. He looks really good.
Unfortunately, Greggy, I don't think anything, literally any clothes they've got continuing to Joss Butler. I'm sorry, but we can try, but...
Well, I'm going to try because you can get 25% off everything when you enter BARMY25 at checkout. So there we have it. Charles Tirrett, sort me right out. I think it looks smart. Is that one of the worst like little sort of shameless adverts we've ever done? I don't know. I'm leaving this all in the podcast, by the way. I'm not editing it out.
It's just how you just went in on yourself for, I reckon, about a minute. My clobber is woeful and awful. You can't polish your turd. I'm shocked. You're having a meltdown in the studio.
I think I am a little bit. Before we go, do you want to mention something? Do you want to do an advert, something, by the way, before we get into Oliver Phelps?
Well, less of an advert, more of a shout out to our team at Barmy Travel, who have been working round the clock to secure more packages for the West Indies and to get on sale with Netherlands packages, making sure that we've got as much products as we can have on sale for the West Indies. We've got it. So if you can get out to the West Indies in March or the T20s at the end of Jan, then go to barmytravel.com and check out all the packages that we've still got available. They are flying off the shelves like hotcakes. If you want to secure tickets, hotels, flight tickets, we've even got a private charter for Barbados, make sure you do it through Barmy Travel. It's your only way to guarantee tickets in the Barmy Army section. We will hope to have some tickets further down the line, but right now the only thing we can guarantee is tickets through Barmy Travel. So please do come and join us in the West Indies. It's been a long, old slog of 2 years without any proper cricketing international tours. The West Indies is going to be one hell of a celebration. And if you're listening to this and you're on the fence, then get off the fence and get on the plane over to the West Indies, because it's going to be unbelievable.
I like that. Is that new strap line? Get off the fence and onto the plane. I like that a lot. I could get behind that. Well, you know what? I've got to just second that as well, because it's been tough for everybody at the Barmy Army. We worked really hard to put on these tours, and obviously just not really been able to do anything from no choice of our own, obviously. And it's just, and that is going to be one heck of like a cricketing experience, that. And if it's something that you've always toyed with doing and you're a little bit unsure and I'm not sure how much leave I've got or whatever, most people's leave refreshes in April. So, and it's March. So just get it done. Just book. All right. So there we go. There's two of us. I think I've had quite enough now. Oliver Phelps is our guest on Shackles Are Off World Cup T20 Daily Podcast. He's an absolute blinder of a guest. Hopefully I'll be slightly less delirious the next time we record one. And hopefully the next time we record a podcast, England are into the World Cup final. Come on, the lads. That's on Wednesday at 2. And we'll speak soon. Cheers for listening.
How are you doing, guys?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, not too bad. You'd have thought after all this time since everyone's been on Zoom, I can double check that everything's already there before we start. Right, all good.
It's all good.
I get worse with technology. The more you use it, the worse you get.
Yeah, I left a filter on a while ago and then haven't used it for a couple of weeks. And I was on a Zoom call to a production company in the States and I realised that I had a filter for a moustache that follows you around. So I was just making sure that none of that was on there when I started.
Excellent.
Thanks so much for coming on, by the way. It's really appreciated. Also, you'll appreciate, you know, this is a bit, it's a bit random for us, obviously. You know, we just used and comfortable talking to cricketers, but you know, this is different. It's completely different. I'm really looking forward to talking to you and stuff. I want to know your fascination with cricket and where it began, because I'm guessing when you've got a twin brother, when you're growing up, things can get a bit spicy in the garden, can't they? And down the nets and all that, I'd imagine, Oliver, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, we to be honest with you, our cricket games as kids never lasted too long in the back garden because one of us would get frustrated and instead of just like driving it, we'd just try and knock it for six over the fence and that'll be the end of the game. So it was, we never really played too much as kids, to be honest with you, but we were always like interested in the game itself. And then when we were filming Potter, we weren't allowed to play cricket in case obviously you got injured or whatever, yeah, like that, or you took a ball to the face or something. So yeah, just that's, I think that's kind of because I couldn't play it, I focused a lot more on watching it, and the England team at the time was starting to turn the corner really in the early 2000s. So the first test match I ever went to, because my grandfather was a really big cricket fan anyway. And the year he died, and then the next summer, I just said to my grandmother, do you fancy going to the test match? So we went to watch England versus the Windies. Awesome. It was Brian Lara's last test match there. And I just remember sitting in the Holly stand at Edgbaston, loving it. And it just became one of those things. So yeah, and it just, as I say, test cricket to me has always been my favourite thing to do on a sunny summer's day. Been fortunate enough to go to Wales and watch the Ashes down there. Again, bucket list stuff, but yeah, just a great love for the game. And then since then as well, we've been able to play cricket with the Bunbury cricket team as well. So we've, which is more about the game, more about the spirit of cricket than the actual result with those things, especially when we've got about 20 people in the field. But it's they're always good days.
I must ask, Oliver, you mentioned something there. One thing the Barmy Army is synonymous with is the Hollies stand. You mentioned it, and you mentioned your grandma was in the Hollies. Now, that is amazing. For anyone that's been there, they know how lively it is. Your grandma must be a lot of fun.
So she was, to be honest, I had no idea that the Hollies was like that. We turned it to Edgbaston on the day, and the chap just said, oh, yeah, this stand's quite, it can get a bit, can get a bit good atmosphere. So I was like, yeah, fine. And we sat in there, and I remember that there was a conga line. Everyone like, with guys from the Windies, with guys from the obviously the England fans, and it was great. And then we went the next year to the Edgbaston test of the Ashes, and we were there on the Sunday. We couldn't get in the Hollies; we were further around, so we were right behind the wicket on that day. And that's probably one of my treasured possessions, is the stub for the ticket from that day's play Edgbaston, which is, I think at the time you thought that's special, but then afterwards you like, all these years back and people are still talking about it. And as you say, cricket was always something I shared with my gran right until she passed. It was, and even now, like she died a couple of years ago, but even now, if there's a really close game, I'll find myself wanting to talk to her about it or give her a call about it. So it's a great, and that's the great thing with the game. It's a generational thing. It's not necessarily like some games where it's very opinionated as to like your generation or whoever are watching it, whereas I think that's the great thing with cricket, is it is very, especially test cricket, there is that thing where everyone buys into it. I mean, in with like the county circuit this year, like with Warwickshire winning the county championship on the last day, to me had a test match feel to it. There was this anticipation of, are they going to do it? And being a Bears fan, when they crossed the line, it was great.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. And we know Will Rhodes actually a little bit, and because we sort of grew up in Leeds and went to uni in Leeds, and we were there, and Rhodes, he was sort of knocking around a similar age to us. And I mean, he's been great, hasn't he? Will Rhodes has been like a revelationary captain for the Bears.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they've done well, especially like getting Bresnan in as well. Like they built on a good basis here, and it's great for the county to have that back there, especially where you think where they were maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, or something like that. So it's certainly good, and hopefully that can all blend into the test team as well with England when they hopefully can work a bit of form going into this, obviously with the Ashes team is probably already set in stone with the quarantine requirements and all that stuff what goes on. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
You've been before, haven't you, down there to Australia, down under, watched a few test matches. You went to the Barmy Army Christmas dinner, is that right, as well?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. So how it all started, basically, I said to my now wife, we were only boyfriend and girlfriend before at the time, and I said, do you fancy going to Australia for 6 weeks? Or for however long it was. And she says, yes, okay. And we actually flew straight to Perth. And it was probably about 2 weeks before she found out, we're doing Perth test, the Boxing Day test and the Sydney test. And I said, don't worry about Christmas Day as well. I've booked this dinner. And it was at the Crown Casino.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. And they were very good. The guys at Barmy Army were fantastic, because I think there was about 120 people there, six women. And they put all the ladies on the same table, so it was great fun. But it was, I just remember it brilliant. Like everyone singing carols, and at the end, and there was a countdown. It was like a responsible. It was an open bar, but they said, everyone was like, you got 4 hours of responsible drinking starting now, and it kind of set the tone. And then I just like everyone just piling down to St Kilda. On the metro, on the tram, and it was just, if anyone's ever thinking of doing it, it was the best. Choose my words carefully. The best Christmas Day lunch away from your family you could care to do. That's the best way to describe it. It was great fun. It was really good fun.
That's now morphed into a much bigger event. Now on the last tour, we had 600 people in the Palladium room for the same event. So you can imagine what it would be like on this trip. But it's a good day, isn't it?
Yeah, really good. And then you see a few of the same guys about as well. That's the other good thing about doing a tour like that. We were, as I said, the WACA. So it was 13, 14, I think that would be. And unfortunately, the result was a whitewash. But it was just, but that was the good thing about the whole spirit of the Barmy Army, still giving it some go. And just having a good laugh. And I think just appreciating good cricket being played by the Aussies at the time, with like Mitchell Johnson pinging them in at over 100 mile an hour.
Yeah.
It was what it was. But from a fan's point of view, it was something that I'd always wanted to do.
So, obviously you enjoy cricket, which is great. And I love that about that. And you've just fallen into it kind of organically. And obviously you had the family thing with your grandparents liking it and that kind of thing. So you're probably always going to have some kind of interest, I suppose, in it. Talk to me about being on the set of Harry Potter and all, because I know Daniel Radcliffe is a fan. He's been on View from the Boundary as well, hasn't he, a few times and amongst others. Was it talked about? Were you talking about cricket? Can you remember there being matches on and maybe, stopping and trying to watch something whilst you were in filming, or maybe delaying it a bit? I don't know.
I can't remember. I know that Dan and Tom Felton are big cricket fans as well. But in terms of actually talking about it too much, I can't really remember doing that, to be honest with you. Yeah. Like, I remember having a bit of a knock around with like a tennis ball on Privet Drive. Which is, for those listeners, so Privet Drive is the road where Harry Potter lives, and it's basically a set at the studios, and it's like modelled houses, and there's a road there, and for most of the time it's not being used, so it would be like put some, I don't know, a bin or something as a wicket, and just have a ball knocking that around. So that's when it's quite funny now when I see it if it's on the TV or something. I think, I remember that.
You got some runs on there.
Yeah, it was good. We used to, it used to be along the lines of, if you got it past the at the end of the driveway, that was the boundary, as it were. So it was good fun. It was one of those things where you can kind of jump in and doing it, but then trying to explain to a few of the Americans who had no idea what they were doing.
That's a funny looking baseball bat.
Yeah, that's it.
What was that like, Oliver, to be part of the Harry Potter production, for it to grow into what it's grown into today with theme parks around the world? Did you know at the time how big it was going to be, or was it pretty surreal ever since it's...
You'd had no acting experience, had you? Am I right in thinking you'd literally done no acting before you auditioned, which is just crazy?
We'd literally done, I suppose, like anybody does at school, but no, nothing else. And then my mum was speaking to somebody on the phone, and they said, oh, there's an open audition up in Leeds. So I grew up in North Birmingham. So it's on a Thursday, so they'd have to miss school and could get in a film. I don't know a 14-year-old who'd say no to going to going along today.
It's a win-win, isn't it? Win-win.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we went up there, and I know that there was a big buzz about it anyway, because there was a lot of media coverage. There was the fourth book had just come out, and there was a big buzz around that. And I remember going to the audition and there being so many people there. And so it was always known that it was going to be big. And I think as a naive 14-year-old, you just assume that every movie is that big and that popular. And then, but then again, if you'd have told me, like, that was what, 21 years ago when we went for the first audition, if you'd have told me then that I'd still be talking about it now, and people who weren't even born would know it word for word. Mm. It's crazy, but it's great to be, it's still really special to be part of.
Yeah. I suppose you've been asked every single question that you could possibly be asked about it in many ways. And it's you know, it's a cool thing to be part of, isn't it? You know, how's your kind of, what is it, you know, you're into next? What have you got coming up? What is it, you know, what is life looking like for you now? Because a lot of people will remember you and your brother in the films, of course they will, you know, great, great characters in the film. But then it's almost like Rupert and Emma to an extent, and Daniel as well. You know, nothing is almost in a way going to be as big as that, but you're now looking for job fulfillment and that kind of thing. So what is it for you? What does it look like for you?
So at the moment, we're actually filming a travel show, my brother and I. So we worked on this concept probably about 5 years ago or so. And we had a sizzle made and everything in America. And unfortunately, we got the wrong people to try and sell it. So it didn't work. And that kind of got put on the shelf somewhere. And then we, at the beginning of last year, or just end of 2019 or so, we were talking with the production company who were on board to make it again with a slightly different twist. And then obviously everything happened last year. It all got put on the back burner. But yes, we've been away. So we've been filming we did one in Ireland, one in Iceland, Poland, Dubai, St. Lucia, and Austria.
Nice.
So we're getting about a bit. So it's been really, really well received on online as well from people. So we're just in the middle of polishing all that off, and then that'll be out released next year. I'm not too sure where that's going to be out in the UK market at the moment, but it's just been nice to be able to still do that. And again, it is helpful to have the Potter on the resume, because it certainly opens a few doors to do different things.
Of course. And you've got your YouTube channel as well with your brother. So it's cool that you're actually mates as well.
We've got that. We do a podcast ourselves, which is Normal Not Normal, which is basically us just, we interview different guests, and a lot of it is what is normality. And I think that's the thing with, certainly a lot of our fan base is predominantly, it's quite cool that you can see like the actual statistics of where people are, their age, their sex and everything like that. So we can see that, you know, that age group and that. And I think that there's a lot of people who are kind of thinking, well, I'm not of the normal variety type thing. And we're just trying to break down this barrier. Well, there's no such thing. Like, your normality and my normality are totally different, but it doesn't make one above the other. And it's quite cool interviewing different people and speaking to them about their experiences. So like, to me, going to say, going to the cricket, for example, you know, to me as a fan, my normality, I love, as I say, going in the hollies, I'm really glad they allow the beer snakes back as well, by the way. Like, this year they really will not go. Anyway, and so like, my normality at the cricket would be doing that. But yeah, you think of, say, the guys playing on the field,
Yeah,
that's their normality for a day's work. You know, there's no upscale or downscale to it. So that's what's been, that kind of came at the beginning of lockdown last year, and it's kind of just taken on a life of its own. It's been really fun, and we've had some great feedback from all over the globe on that, which has been really cool.
You know, I think we should have a tie up, Greggy, because the Barmy Army is very diverse, and there's a lot of characters in there. And normal is a word that you wouldn't really ever associate with the Barmy Army. So
no.
I think it's a perfect fit for the podcast, but also your travel show series 2 needs to incorporate a Barmy Army tour, surely.
I think we definitely need to work that out somewhere. We need to see where they're going to be going, and I'm trying to think where the next couple of
well, we've got West Indies coming up.
Isn't it? Well, yeah, as I say, so we're filming in St. Lucia soon. So maybe we'll do some recces around there, and then maybe and then end up on one of the great. As again, that's another, to me, a bucket list tick to be able to go. I had some friends who went on the last tour out there, and they were saying how fantastic it was. Mm. And it's just really special to be able to do that type of thing. So again, it's that I'm in a very fortunate position where I've got a great love of travel, and I can work that into a work, I suppose you can call it work. And it's really, really great.
Yeah, in fact, that's something that you do share in common with Chris, actually, because, you know, Chris, you're travelling all around as well, watching England play cricket, South Africa, Sri Lanka, India, all sorts, everywhere. You've been everywhere, Chris, haven't you? It's amazing. Also, can I just say, you did play down massively. Yeah, we speak to various guests on our podcast. Well, yeah, Ed Sheeran, you know, Paralympians, Bake Off winners, all these kinds of people. Fantastic.
That's the cool thing. Like, it's really a case of we've got a couple of guys who help produce it as well for us. I'm not saying that we just do it on our own. We've got some great guys who help us with it, and that we just send different messages to different people, and some people are receptive to it. And as you say, like the Ed Sheeran one was in the works quite a while.
Yeah,
but he was we had a great chat with him. But in cricket terms, though, we interviewed James Taylor.
Oh, fantastic.
On there
as
well. So that's a great listen to. Cause again, it's like readapting to his normality from, you know, from what, a couple of months before he was getting 99 at the MCG to literally that was it straight away. But he's become actually a good friend of mine as well, James, now. So he's going off it. He's one of these annoying guys who took golf up, and then within 3 years he's off scratch.
It's, I know. It's sickening, that. It's sickening.
Yeah.
He's a really good guy, though, James, isn't he? He's a smashing guy. And it's testament to him, actually, that he's kind of carried on in the game and doing what he's doing, isn't it? Because obviously he's so well-liked and well-received, and obviously got a great cricketing mind. Playing some charity games as well? How do you fare when you play the charity games? So obviously you talked about, you know, playing for Bunbury. He played with Tuffers, Beefy, Shane Warne.
Yeah.
Piers Morgan.
That was at Beefy's birthday bash, I think it was called.
Right.
And we were asked to play because we did quite a bit with the Bunburys, and so we were asked to play in that one. And I didn't realise how many people were going to be there, and how many people were playing in terms of just creme de la creme of international.
Shane Warne
bowling
at you.
Yeah. I mean, it was good fun. But I was just trying to stay away. It was one of those afternoons where you'd hope the ball doesn't come anywhere near you, yet it seems to follow you around. So it was just great to be able to share a field and watch these guys do what they do, where it was even, you know, yes, it was a charity game, but you could see them starting to get a bit more. All right,
as soon as they step over the white line, it's game on for the professional sportsman. Most importantly, Oliver, did you get any runs or any wickets on that day?
I don't think I did. I think I definitely got a run or two, but my cricket is not good. I'll be honest with you. I talk a good game, but I'm not. I wouldn't do that. Although last year, I was spending some time in the nets just as something to do with a few pals of mine, but we haven't really. Yeah, I wouldn't say to come and see me play cricket is going to be a good spectacle.
I disagree. From what you're saying, it sounds like it's going to be great.
There's normally other people to watch who are quite good.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Thing,
yeah. Love that. Because a lot of us, you know, we grow up playing at school, but you'll have missed a large part of that, won't you? So, in fact, of it. So I know you were schooled on set, effectively, weren't you? I've sort of read about and heard about this before. But in terms of actual, like, you know, a normal afternoon playing football or rugby in the, you know, in the winter and then cricket in the summer, you'll have missed most of that, if not all of it, won't you?
Yeah, it totally went. Mm. So I think my last, and the school, the senior school I went to was one of these, they just played cricket for like the final term of the year. They didn't do anything in the winter or anything like that. So I remember, I remember finishing. I always enjoyed batting. But then when I went to play again, which you're talking like 10, 12 years later, my batting is like me playing golf. So everything's still. There's no, which for a bowler is very nice to see someone not going to move at all on the crease, just flapping away. So it was, it's one of those things I've kind of learned now that I'd rather watch. And if someone needs me in the field, I'll have to do that and try and catch. But other than that, yeah, it's not too great. I think the best score I got at the cricket at the Bunbury's was, I think the best I got was a double in one over. I think that was the best one I ever got on my bowling sides. But yeah, it is what it is.
Love it. Right, Oliver, we're going to get you involved in a couple of our features that we do. We've been doing this through this World Cup series that we're doing. By the way, we've not talked about England yet. We'll do that in a second. But because England have been great, and actually, you know, I think very much are on the path to, you know, and Chris and I, we were out yesterday together in the pub. It's the first time we've kind of, I'd say, loosely watched cricket. We were on a stag do, I'll be honest. We'll level with you.
Okay.
So the watching of the cricket in this bar was fleeting, and it was for a moment and whatever. I can't really tell you exactly what happened, ball for ball. Right. However, but it was the first time Chris and I have watched cricket together for ages, which is a shame, really. But we were both saying there was some coherent conversation where we did actually end up saying, it's quite good that they've lost. And that's a really stupid thing to say. But look, we're already through. And actually, a little kind of shake or maybe a little, hey, something, you know, it can happen, guys, kind of thing. It might help.
Yeah.
You're not invincible.
You know, you're not invincible. Yeah, exactly like Chris says. So, I mean, do you agree with that? Or was that just us talking
nonsense? I think so. Because, as you say, it's a shame that they weren't able to, not lose a single game, you know, going into it. But at the same time, it makes them step back and maybe look at, I mean, you don't know, but you'd have thought they'd go back to, okay, you're not doing this right, or we could do better at doing this. So, yeah, I think it is probably, you'd rather lose in a dead rubber for them going into a game against New Zealand. And hopefully they can, as you say, hopefully it makes them refocus. Not that they maybe have lost focus, but sometimes if you're winning all the time, it can seem maybe a bit easy.
Yeah, and South Africa did look actually quite good. It's not like that, you know, they collapsed or anything. You know, they actually look pretty good, I think. So, you know, there we go. Let's get into some of our features. So we do have this every single week, Oliver, right? We have Shocker of the Week and Legend of the Week. And Shocker of the Week this time, for the second time in just three episodes, it's none other than England spinner and TMS commentator Alex Hartley again. Have a listen to this.
Despite the valiant effort of the fielder, that's what Pakistan were looking for.
Yeah, you can't blame the fielder there. He's done a full-length dive and parried the ball into his own head. Bless him. It bounced off his nonce.
Oh, that is a shocker.
It's a good one. And Alex was on the last episode of this, and she's lovely. And we were talking about one where they'd been saying BAPS on air with her and Atif Nawaz, and they were talking about BAPS, and they were all falling about laughing. They actually couldn't concentrate. And she's great, Alex, actually. She brings a lot to the commentary box, isn't she? You love TMS, don't you? I know you love TMS.
Yeah. But she was great as well. She added to the 100 as well. Sitting out in the audience doing out in the crowd doing that. She really added to that.
She's brilliant. Good fun, really good fun. So sorry, Alex, you are Shocker of the Week for the second time in three episodes. Unbelievable. Who'd have thought it? Okay, this one is Legend of the Week. It's gone massively viral on our Twitter account. The universe boss, Chris Gayle, playing in what looks like his last game for the Windies. And at the end of the game, he went and checked Davey Warner, our friend at the Barmy Army, his pocket, which he looked like he was looking for sandpaper. So as Barmy Army fans, we actually quite like that. You know, you could just bow out gracefully. It could all be about you, but no, he wants to take the mickey out of Dave Warner for one last time. I think that's pretty good to you. So.
Brilliant, definitely.
By the way, still playing in a World Cup at 42.
Yeah.
That is outstanding. And I know he's not what he was, but fair play to him.
Yeah, and he has
and
been
he's still, and you could. I was going to say he's still be contributing as well, which is it. He's not just like racking up to make up the numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and he's just great with it as well, isn't he? He's great.
Yeah, I'm not sure he'd quite pass the fielding standards for the England level anymore. He's a bit of a mascot in the field, isn't he? Yeah.
Love that term, mascot in the field. That's one thing you don't want to get called on one of these charity games, Oliver. I tell you that, you know.
Oh, I'm that guy.
Oliver Phelps, mascot. Love to see it. Okay, now, and the final feature that we do, and I'd imagine that you will quite enjoy this, it's Chorus Corner. We get people to send songs in. Surprisingly, we actually get a lot of people recording themselves singing songs and then sending them into us to play out on the podcast. Remarkable. I mean, just shameless, actually. This one is a cracker, though, actually. We've got perhaps one of our youngest ever contributors to Chorus Corner. Simon Morris sent this on Twitter. Thanks, Simon. It's his four-year-old son singing a Barmy Army classic.
Everywhere we go.
Everywhere we go,
people want to know.
People want to know
who we are.
Who we are.
Where we come from.
Where we come from.
And we tell them.
And we tell them.
We're the England.
We're the England.
We're the army.
Barmy Army.
Like that.
Still going. But even doing that, like that type of thing, though, but like we were saying, like it's a non-generational thing. Like his son will just live with that now.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And you know that son, you know, I'm not sure what Simon's son's called. You just know that he's going to be you know, on that Ashes tour in 2046, don't you?
Yeah. He'll be one of the... Yeah, he'll probably... well, you never know. I was going to say he'll be one of the lobsters at St Kilda on Christmas Day. But yeah.
Helping you up the stairs, Oliver, you know, when you're there.
Yeah, that'll be it. Yeah, that was it. But no, it's really good. But I think they're going back to, like, with the World Cup, though. I mean, what's everyone's thinking for the final? Do you think it's going to be... Because after the way they play Pakistan, I'd like that. But then you think going into the Ashes, it would be fitting for an England Aussie final.
I think it would. You know what? I'd quite like to see that. Chris, would you like to see? I mean, Chris has got a big grin on his face. Would you want to see Australia in the final? As long as it's a guaranteed win, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, then it's a nice thing, of course.
I'd love it because it means we're pretty much guaranteed the trophy, doesn't it? No. In all seriousness, I would. I'd love to see that. But what I think what's so refreshing is you look at some of the Australian players that will be playing in the Ashes, and a lot of our guys that are already in Australia preparing for that. Hopefully, it's if they don't win it and we come out on top, hopefully it'll work in our favour, like you said, for the Ashes, which is going to be a huge 6 weeks that is literally just round the corner now, isn't it?
I don't know how it's going to feel though. Like watching it, obviously with there's a debate should it even be going on without getting the full, you know, a bit like with the rugby with the Lions tour as well. Like this year, it just didn't have the same ring to it.
I mean, there was behind closed doors though most of that, wasn't it? There was literally like nobody in some of the stadiums, and it was like, oh really? You know, and that was, and that kind of really sapped away from it, didn't it? But I think, where will you be watching it, Oliver? Are you going to be pulling some all-nighters and stuff? I don't know what your schedule's looking like.
It depends where I'm going to be. Like, I'll be in, I'm trying to think.
Sydney?
Yeah. I wish. No, I think I'll be in Austria for the first test, so I'll probably just be watching it on the phone or late at night or whenever we're there, but the rest of the time we'll be normally just watching it on the TV.
There's
some two amicable parts of the day, but I mean, the one thing I do remember is how hot it was in Perth when we went, and it was like 42 43, but the Fremantle Doctor, so it's like the breeze what comes in off the bay cools everything down, so it's
Sunburn breeze.
I'll be looking forward to it all the same. Though it's always a great thing to be able to watch.
Where else is on your bucket list then, Oliver? Barmy Army wise, you know, or just
to go? I think Caribbean definitely would be definitely up there. And then maybe part of me says India, but I think it would be too intense.
Yeah,
I may be wrong, but how
it's
is
not
it?
Chris. It's not Chris's favorite, is it? I've not been, but Chris has, and it's no.
It's like you said. It's amazing for a week, but it is quite intense to be there for a lot longer than that. You can see how it's so hard on the players when they go for five tests. However, it is the mecca, isn't it? Really, India for cricket. Everyone goes mental playing in the streets, playing out in the back of the restaurants. It's just incredible how much they are just absolutely cricket mad. Like we think we like it here, but as soon as you go to Mumbai, it's just cricket, cricket, cricket.
Yeah, exactly. As you say, so I think that'd be great to see maybe a test out there.
Sri Lanka's a good one. Sri Lanka's a good one. That's my favourite. Yeah, Sri Lanka's great.
Oh, right. Okay. Mm. Why is that? Is that just
beautiful?
It's just beautiful. And honestly, the goal test is brilliant. So you'll have seen that with the fort, and we had obviously Randy Caddick there, the lone Barmy Army soldier, which is great. What a legend. But he was, you know, that whole area is amazing. So the fort's brilliant. It's got loads of restaurants and stuff in it as well. And then you've got where we were staying was like right on the beach, and the water's like, it's like a hot bath, you know, the sea, and everybody's on the beach, and there's great atmosphere, and everybody's there just drinking and having fun, and you know, restaurants and all sorts. Honestly, I can't tell you how good it is. I'm not doing a very good job of describing it, but it's amazing. Hopefully you can hear how excited I am when I do talk about it. You get a good feel.
No, definitely,
for it.
No, I think that's it. As you say, it's funny that you say there's restaurants and stuff in the forts, because from the camera angles, it literally just looks like an old fort.
Mm. Oh, it's incredible.
It's like, I want to say, like over here, we'd say it's gentrified. You know what I mean? Like they've obviously done stuff with something that previously probably wasn't much, but they've turned it into like really nice. There's loads of little houses and stuff in there, and it's great. It's really good.
Right.
And the sea's great, and the breeze is brilliant. That ground's great as well, because it's small and it's compact, and the atmosphere's really good. And where we were with the Barmy Army, because we were sort of stood on that grass banking, weren't we? And it was, wonderful. Really good. So, the people are brilliant. The people are lovely. So there you go.
I think that's the other thing as well. Like if you go anywhere, especially on a tour, it's always great the people you meet while doing it. And that always adds to it more than anything. Like it certainly adds to where you go.
So true. So Oliver, are you going to join us in the Hollies this year for the India test?
Definitely want to. I missed the ballot this year though for the tickets, but I'll drop you a message though if you guys have got one going on this. I was speaking actually one of my mates in the States, talking about the beer snake. He was saying that they showed it at a baseball game. They made one, and I said, "Mate, that is nothing." And I took there was the picture which went the whole length of the Hollies, then round to the Rest Wyatt stand. And he said, "I need to do that." But I mean, this last test match against New Zealand this year we went to. So I was there on the first day, and it was, someone described it as a stag do. And it was the best way I'd describe it, because there was no one under 18 allowed in. It was pretty much people in fancy dress. Everyone was there to have just a good time. And I think it was absolutely fantastic. The cricket was good. The atmosphere was amazing. And again, as I said earlier, like there's no better way I'd want to spend a nice sunny day than doing that.
Oh, you're welcome to join us. We look forward to seeing your beer snake skills next summer.
Yeah. Oh, look, he's excited already, Chris. Love it. Absolutely.
I was
going
to say, I'm buzzing now. I'm buzzing already.
Oliver, thanks so much, mate, for coming on. Really, really good to meet you, albeit virtually. And I'll see you in the Hollies anyway next summer. All right.
Sounds good. Cheers, guys.
Top man.
Thanks, Oliver.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Podcast Network.